Steps, talking about men's and women's soccer coverage here at Robert Morris University. I am joined by
David Auth. I'm a sports photographer for Century. I've been to all the men's and women's home soccer games so far.
And I'm Chris Miske. I'm just really a soccer fan. I play on the club team here, but I'm just here to talk some soccer.
All right. So only two games this week. Women's soccer, we'll start with them first. Only one game since last week's episode. They suffered another loss, 2-0 against Mount St. Mary's on the road Friday. They're now 3-11 overall, 1-3 in conference games, and have suffered, they're on a losing streak. That's all I know right now. Julia Schmidt played her heart out, 17 saves, but still 2 goals allowed. Mount St. Mary's is now 2-6-3 overall, 1-0-2 in conference. So a decent team, but Robert Morris was still outplayed. Julia Schmidt doing all she could back there, 17 saves, a 2-0 loss, and it just really goes to show that Robert Morris's defense needs to step up, because Schmidt and Bruckner, when she's in, have been doing everything they can to try and get the ball to go the other direction.
I think the statistic I saw was that was the most saves by an RMU women's goalie mm-hmm. since the early
2000s.
2004,
yeah.
2004? Wow.
It's pretty insane.
Obviously, I didn't see the game, but I'm seeing the statistic here that we were outshot 26-6.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
usually, you're not going to win those games.
Yeah.
That's not usually a good statistic to have.
Unless Jane has, 16 goals. Jane had 3 shots herself, and that's half of our shots in general. We had 6 shots. No offense, no defense in this game. And it was against a team that, personally, I think they could have at least competed with the... Mount St. Mary's is only 2-6-3 now. We only have 2 wins as well, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
But statistically, it just comes down to depth scoring. Jane was held scoreless again, which isn't a diss on her or anything. It's just that no one else on the squad has been able to help her out offensively. Every now and then, you'll see someone score a goal, but... it's just a one show, in my opinion. You'll have those games where a depth player will score, which is great, but then they don't. That's it. They don't
continue to keep scoring.
Yeah. Christina Kelly is someone that I think needs to help Jane out a little bit more. She's one of the leaders on this squad. I believe she only has 1 goal so far this year. Let me check that. Yes, 1 goal this year for 2 points. But it's not like she's not trying as well. She has 17 shots on net. Jane has 51 shots on net just this season, which is insane.
That's high volume. I mean, at some point, I think that once you start getting goals in the back of the net, it's going to change the mentality. It's just a matter of, sometimes that's just the way it goes in a game. You just don't hit a lot of shots. You don't get a lot of opportunities, but... they hit one, that's a good confidence booster.
But the bright spot in this game, though, was goaltending. Our women's soccer team really does rotate our 2 goalies in Schmidt and Bruckner. They like to do that a lot. And that's good because it's kind of a 1A, 1B situation. Both goalies are great. Schmidt has started 7, and Bruckner started 11. So... and Schmidt starting less, though she does get this amazing game with 17 saves. Both great goalies. And that was, in my opinion, the only bright spot of this game.
Yeah, I thought originally it might be, or it was a little weird that we rotate goalies. Maybe just have one in there for a majority of the games, give them a little more confidence, make them a little bit better. But obviously it's been... working as far as it should have with the 2 goalies, but when your defense isn't doing what it needs to, mm-hmm. it doesn't even matter who's in front of the net, they're not going to do enough.
17 saves is some world beaters stuff right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there shouldn't be that many shots on goal to begin with, but the fact that she made 17 saves is pretty remarkable.
And a loss is a loss. It doesn't really matter if you – I mean, like, a close loss is the same as a 9-0 loss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she would have let in all of those 17 shots, the team still would have lost because there's no offense going if Jane's not going. So – depth is what we're looking for in this team. Their next game is against St. Francis, Saturday, home, first game home after a while. One, the team is 5-6-3 overall, St. Francis is, and they are undefeated in conference play, but with one tie. They're 4-1-1 at home, but they will be on the road for this game against Robert Morris. So a little perspective on this team. Mount St. Mary's is a team we just lost to 2-0. They beat them 1-0, and that was their last game. Their only conference non-win, their tie, was against Bryant in double overtime, who I believe we lost to. No, we are yet to play Bryant. They have 17 goals on the season. As a team, they're led by Alyssa McGee, who has 11 points, 4 goals, 3 assists. 13 different players have points, and 9 different players have goals. So they're getting what we're not in depth scoring. Yes, they have an all-star like leading scorer with McGee, who has 11 points, but they have depth, and we do not.
Yeah, I think to really hit back on just spreading the ball around, obviously, St. Francis has something that we don't at the moment. Obviously, if we can get a leg up on them, maybe get lucky, that's a huge win with their record especially. But I think we need to take a little note from their notebook.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing.
It'll once again probably come down to goaltending if that's not the case. I don't know who's starting this game, if it's Bruckner or Schmidt, but we will see this Friday. So what are your guys' predictions for this matchup?
Go ahead, David.
I'm not really sure. I think, I mean, they have, 17 goals overall for the season, was the statistic, and...
Yes.
Yeah, we only have 13. It's not that big of a...
9 of them are from Jane.
It's not that big of a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously at the end of the day, you want to have your depth scores, putting the ball in the net, but a goal is a goal. It doesn't really matter who's going to score, I guess. I think, like Chris said, if we can get one in early and kind of hold the bus down, then I think we'll stand a chance.
My predictions are always wrong in the show, so I hope this is wrong as well. I predict a 2-0 loss. I just don't see Robert Morris being able to compete with this team. It just comes down to depth, in my opinion.
I'm going to say a 2-1 loss. I feel like they'll probably score, and then we'll march down the field right away and score another one,
mm-hmm.
and then sometime in the second half.
That's something Jane's very good at doing is what I've seen. She always scores right after the team
exactly
scores.
Yeah. Like, they'll, like, talk for a second,
mm-hmm.
come up with, like, the plan, like, where they're going to put the ball, you know, who's going to get it,
yeah.
who's going to finish, and then it goes back in. But then after that, they don't seem too motivated to, I guess, score a goal to go up one. They
mm-hmm.
only seem motivated to score goals to, like, stay in the race.
Yeah.
I guess my prediction, I'm going to say 3-1, just from looking. I haven't really seen St. Francis play, but the fact that they have 13 different players with points means they really know how to spread the ball, and especially with a porous defense, that's a really bad recipe for disaster. But I do think seeing the high-volume shooting of Jane, that's going to lead to at least one goal, I'm predicting, and that would maybe give us a confidence boost.
Yeah,
so
it'll be nice to see her get back on the board after 2 games without any... Switching things over to men's soccer, one game since last week's episode as well. This time it was a win against St. Francis Brooklyn. It was a great game. I was there, covered it. They're now on a 2-game winning streak, our men's soccer team. And they're set to play Fairleigh Dickinson this Sunday on the road at 3 o'clock. So the 1-0 win was at home. It was sort of a homecoming type of a win. Came on our homecoming weekend. And it was her first game back after a 4-game road trip. So it was obviously great to get a win when you come back home. These two teams were very, very even statistically, and you could definitely tell watching the game. They were just back and forth. There was no team let up on defense. Like, it was at times it was frustrating. Just even just for both teams. Like, sometimes I'm like, can we see like a scoring opportunity in this game? Like, but it was intense, and with the tight defense came physicality. There was a lot of calls in this game. Some parents getting into it.
Yeah, a lot of calls early. I think during the first half, I saw the ref like shouting at players like two or three different times, saying like, "I'm not gonna call that," or "lay off him," stuff like that.
Yeah, it was a very physical game. It's Zach Sherman in particular. He had three sort of breakaways in this game. One he scored on, and that was the only goal of this game. They won 1-0, and the other two he pushed down a kid twice, and he got fouled for it. And it's kind of funny, but kind of like, really, come on.
Like, yeah, like you said, like the statistics were pretty even, like they were evenly matched across the board. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense that the only goal that got scored was just kind of this. It wasn't like a fluke goal per se, but it was just kind of like a breakaway, like. Mm-hmm. He got like one really like fast chance to
put it in net. He had two defenders on him, and he barely got by both of them.
Yeah, he squeaked through both of them.
Barely got a shot on that. Mm-hmm. He didn't get like a shot you would want to get off.
Yeah,
like he barely touched the ball, and it went over the goalie's head, and that was the only goal. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, in games like that, typically it's going to be a one of those lucky strikes like that, just like a little chance goal. It's not going to have really any bona fide chances per se.
Yeah, and side note, I guess you don't really, like, see this much in sports, but that field that day was very, very muddy.
Very bad, yes.
And, like, I mean, unless you're, like, the Redskins, because that FedEx field is just constantly, like, muddy and just disgusting. Like, usually, like, the field doesn't come into play, but it seemed like the players were kind of, like, slipping around.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't really finding their footing when they should have on offense. They're trying to put balls toward the net that didn't end up there just because the ball was getting stuck in the mud.
Yeah, it definitely happened a lot. That's one thing head coach Bill Dennison said after the game when I talked to him. So yeah, Sherman had the only goal of this game. He's still leading the team in offense and scoring, opposite to the women's team. This team is getting a lot of depth scoring. Let's look at their statistics. Sherm has 13 points, 5 goals, 3 assists, 20 shots on net, and Owen Pierce is second with 14 shots and 10 points, 3 goals, 4 assists. So, eight players with points here, as opposed to the women's team. They're getting scoring as a committee, even though Sherm has like led the offense.
Mm-hmm.
There's been guys like Fank that's been scoring, and it's not like the people that aren't on the score sheet aren't trying. Like Lorenzo has 13 shots. Christian Palmeiro is on the score sheet. He has 17 shots. Like, this team takes a lot more. Gets a lot more chances, in my opinion, just from watching them, even if that's not correct statistically. But
yeah, and having those depth guys actually, you know, makes it easier for the star players to score too,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the star player is going to draw away attention from the depth guys, and, you know, maybe once the depth guys score, then they draw attention away from the star player, and it just kind of benefits everyone in the end.
Yeah, it's going to make defenders uneasy, especially when you have a lot of high volume shots from multiple players. It makes definitely you want to, as a defender, you kind of want to put your focus on like their star player, but then if everybody's taking a bunch of shots, mm-hmm. then that's going to lead to definitely a lot of uneasiness.
Yeah, don't really know who to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Fairleigh Dickinson, Sunday at 3 on the road for our men's team. So they're back on the road after coming home from a four-game road trip. Fairly Dickinson is 4-5-3 overall, 1-1-1 in the conference. I don't know how to say his name, but Ahu Obakan is their leading scorer with 12 points, 6 goals. 10 different players have points for this team, 6 have goals. They have decent depth scoring, but I think this is a team that we can beat. It'll be nice to get 3 wins in a row if they can pull it off. My prediction is just another 1-0 win.
I'm going to say 2-0. I think Sherman's going to have a whole bunch of shots. I don't know if any of them are going to land, but I think 2 of our depth guys are going to score. Maybe Funk, maybe someone else.
I'd say a 2-0 win as well, especially since the defense is a little bit more confident now after that last game playing so well. I wouldn't put it past them just to shut down Obakan, as because he has only goals. He doesn't really have any assists, so it's a lot easier to shut that kind of person down because there's no threat of them threading a pass to another player, really.
Yeah, so. And even if our defense isn't as spectacular as they were last game, they played phenomenal last game. Winter Fondy's back there, and he'll make the big saves whenever he is tested. He's been great all year, and he got another shutout. I believe it's his 10th of his career.
Wow.
And he continues to climb up the leaderboards in our statistics here. So, last week predictions. We'll go to this real quick. My predictions for the Mount St. Mary's game. The actual result was a 2-0 RMU loss. It was relatively close with a 2-1 Mount St. Mary's win. As for men's, I'm glad I predicted this wrong. The St. Francis-Brooklyn game, I predicted a 2-0 loss, and as we said before, a 1-0 RMU win.
You're close to the women's game, at least.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'd be glad that you were wrong with the men's one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a little activity I have, I thought of. If you could combine both the men's and women's soccer teams to make, like, one super roster, who would be your starting 11? I think the most obvious players on this is Winter Fondy in net, even though Schmidt had an amazing game, and Bruckner has been great. Like I said before, they're kind of a 1A, 1B type of tandem. But if we had to pick between those two and Fondy, it'd be Fondy in my books. He's been great all year. Redshirt senior, he's got a lot of experience. So, as for defenders, I took Owen Pierce. He's, as a defender, he's been getting a lot of goals, which is great. I mean,
if you can include defenders really into any form of offense, that's going to really help out. So, I mean, that's just kind of people you need.
I took Kelly Rosensteel from the women's team as well. She's been contributing so far this year. How about you guys? Who do you guys have on defense?
For defense, I have, I think, Oyvind Sketchel. I don't know how you pronounce the last name.
Yeah.
I know people call him Ovi around campus. He's a big dude. Whenever I watch him play, I feel like he rarely lets anything behind him. I have Owen on mine, too. And I have freshman Jaden Williams from the women's team. I feel like whenever she kind of, like, lets up on defense or makes a mistake, she always goes back and, like, makes sure that ball is getting out of the other team's, like, offensive zone, you know, making sure they're not getting shots off.
I mean, I agree with both of those picks, actually. I mean, I've seen Ovi as well. That's a big center back to get past. I mean, that's just anytime you can have somebody at 6'3 center back, that's quite the matchup. And then really, I don't know who to pick for the other one. I'm not really too well-versed, but I think you guys had good picks.
Yeah, I have him as well. As for forwards, the obvious two choices here, Jane Schleicher, Zach Sherman. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. We've already talked about them enough. They're both phenomenal. Could you imagine putting Seth Schleicher on this team with him and Jane? But no offense to Seth, I don't think he's making this team as a freshman.
Actually, I had Jane as a midfielder. I mean, I know she plays forward, but I think, you know, just watching her play, she's all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she has the endurance for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm obviously not a soccer player, but, like, I can't even run, like, a quarter of a mile without getting tired. I feel like she could run a marathon, like, pretty much every day just from watching her play soccer. So I think she'd be – it'd be interesting to see her at a different position. And I also had Zach Sherman in offense. I mean, that's kind of an obvious pick there.
Yeah, obviously those two. I mean, their records, their statistics speak for themselves. And then I'd also put Funk in there.
Yeah, that's who I had too.
He's really stepped onto the scene, really caused some mayhem for opposing defenses. So I think that's a pretty good pick.
And I had Noah Elaman as one of my midfielders, and then kind of for the same reason I had Christina Kelly on offense. I feel like they both, like, create kind of chances for themselves. They just need to, you know, finish a little bit better, and kind of, like, once they get a couple in, maybe get their confidence up and start scoring more as those depth players.
All right, on to midfielders. I took Christina Kelly and Taylor Berkeley and Bailey Farabaugh. Jeez, I have all women here, all from the women's team. I think they're all – if this team is legit, if this team actually exists, I think they would definitely be good depth scorers, having, like, the men there to have the ball. They'll be easier to get the ball up to. Like, people like Sherman is, like, when you have Sherman is better than some of the women's soccer players, in my opinion, is what I'm trying to say here.
Mm-hmm.
If you put him and Schleicher together, I think it'll be easier to get the ball up to them. So that's why I have Berkeley, Kelly, and Farabaugh. And then I have Matt Cilio as my other midfielder.
Yeah, I had Taylor Berkeley as one of my midfielders as well. I kind of mentioned my other ones before. But it's interesting watching her play, because a lot of the time when she's making runs, she'll kind of, like, pick her head up and look to see who's open. And it just seems like her forwards are never there. You know, they're never in position. So I think, you know, getting her, like, some, you know, different forwards to kind of switch it up, you know, she'd have someone to pass to. Like, I see it pretty much every game. You know, she'll be running down the field, she'll make a pass, you know, towards where she thinks the defender is, and then she'll pick her head up and go, like, you know, where are you guys?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you guys with Berkeley and Kelly. I mean, definitely having that spatial awareness is something that's pretty necessary as far as that goes. But other than that, I think you guys pretty much took all my other options, so.
Yeah. And then coach and assistant coach, I just threw it in for fun. Obviously, both the head coaches, Kowalski and Dennison. How do you guys think this team would do if it were to be in the conference?
I mean, I think we've taken all those good elements. I think there's definitely the good pieces. There's just definitely holes. So, I mean, if we get all the good players from each team, I think it'd probably show out pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd definitely be fun to watch. I mean, obviously, you'd kind of have to tweak things here and there, figure out where people fit. You know, I guess the two teams had different styles of play. So just kind of, like, figuring out, again, like, where the pieces fit. It'd be really, really fun to watch at the end of the day, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's pretty much all the time we have here today. Both teams are back in action this week. Men are on the road. Women are home. We're going to wrap things up here. Thank you all for tuning in to the first ever podcast for soccer here at the Century Media. Thank you all for listening.